For me, it's quite a paradigm shift from walking in kind of almost a scaredy cat, frightened experience. Oh, Lord, I'm in this mess. Oh, COVID. Oh, what about this? And oh, Lord, what about that? But I'll trust. To the Lord is the Lord. He is the great I am, and He dwells within, and because of Him, I trust and shall not be shaken. You see the difference? That was the Hebrew implication. That was the message out of Proverbs, talking to his son and say, son, you obey this and you will remain alive as you go into battle. Now, there's other words in here. So how then do we grab onto this concept of trust in our lives today? Now, there is one thing that is consistent through all these passages, through these words. There's many passages that have these words in it. But there's one thing that was consistent. Each one of these passages speaks of a confidence. It speaks of a certainty. And this feeds trust. It speaks of a security. God is our refuge. It speaks of commitment. I shall not turn to the right. I shall not turn to the left. But it speaks of patience too. I shall wait upon the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. And then it talks about we can count on God because He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is reliable. The focus of the trust is this. I have confidence in God. I have certainty in God. I have security in God. My commitment is in God. My patience is in God. I wait upon the Lord because I'm safe in Him. And, of course, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. How do we trust? In our thinking in the Greek Hellenistic world, it was what has to happen to the outside to make me trust. Okay, that chair has 7 steel legs. I can trust, I can sit in that. Because I can see it. I can look at it. But what is trust? It has nothing to do in what we see. It has everything to do with who God is. And it supersedes no matter what comes. COVID-20, COVID-21, it is who God is. And we shall not be shaken because my trust is in the Lord, the rock. That's the difference. That's the power here. So when we come and we say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's not a cry of the cowardly. It's not a cry of the weak. It's a cry of those who have trust, who can stand firm on the rock and say, Lord, here I am, and I shall stand with you. That's what we have available to us as believers. Now, there's other words in here. Now, the word is used, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And the actual Greek goes back to like a marriage. It's when I married Lori, I said, Lori, when I found her, I mean, I told you before, I heard music. And I remember telling her, and I said, Lori, I have chosen you. Out of all the women that exist in this world, I have chosen you to be my one and only. That's what it means to go all in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart is that nothing competes for the love and affection that belongs only to my beloved. Nothing. Oh, you're all in. There isn't a when I have time. God is not an addition into our life to enhance it. We're all in. There is God and there is nothing else. That's what it means to be all in. All your heart. Now, the word acknowledge Him, again, we have to go back to the Hebrew thinking. We think, or I had a tendency to think, acknowledge Him in all my ways. So whatever I do, yes, I see God there. Acknowledge Him in all my ways. Oh, that was a God thing there. And I'm not making light of this. I'm laughing at myself. I look over here and say, well, I did this, so I acknowledge God was in that too. But the focus, again, was back into the Hebrew. The focus of what is happening inward, moving outward, and acknowledging God in all your ways is to say, God dwells within. God has forgiven me, a sinner. It is God acknowledging that all I am and the very fiber of my being is God Himself. There is nothing else. Lean not onto your own understanding. The word here has a great implication. The Hebrew word, again, in the Hebrew language, was not about definitions, was not about dictionary words. It was about pictures, but not pictures in a way of it is like this picture. It a picture in a way it is. So the word lean here, the actual picture that's painted, is someone walking on the road to Jerusalem. Now the road to Jerusalem was rocky. It was not a paved highway. It was traveled a lot, but there were rocks, there were ruts, there were holes. And the picture of leaning now is somebody walking on that road and they break their ankle. It's not beyond a sprain. It's broken. Your choice now, there's no Uber that's going to come by, is you can lay there and sit on the roadside and die. Hopefully there'll be a good Samaritan comes by. But what if it's someone else who doesn't associate with my class of people? So the word lean is, I have to have that good Samaritan. I have to have that person with me. And the only way that I could make it to get help is I have to lean on that person. You see, it's not a choice. It's not just, well, I can do this. It is life and death. Lean not on your own understanding, but on God Himself. God is the one upon which we lean on. That is the focus of not leaning on your own understanding. Make straight our paths. Now, I used to look at that and say, I equated it to the Israelites in the desert and how they wandered for 40 years and they're going here and going there. But the actual Hebrew implication or picture of it is right and wrong. So when he says he will make your paths straight, it's not because they're crooked. He says he will make your paths so that you will be on the right one. Now, the actual word, the picture, says that make straight paths, and it's mentioned throughout Proverbs and other passage, is the actual word that's translated wheel ruts. Wheel ruts in the road from caravans going by. And we're to walk in those wheel ruts. So the rocks are paved, the ground is solid. And a good way to look at it is walking behind an Abrams tank in Iraq. You're in a landmine field, but you're walking right in the tracks. That is, and he will make your path straight. Now, there's an implication here. You're on the road to Jerusalem, so you're following Jesus. But also there's an implication. Make your path straight because others will be following you, following me. See, the words here are just powerful. Well, as we look at this passage now, it's turned my life around many, many, many times. That we, with Christ dwelling in us, with the power of God in us, that it's not the focus that the world around us is crumbling and falling apart and, oh, woe is us. But it's a time for us, as believers, that we can flourish. It's a time of testing, too, that when the rug gets pulled out from under our feet, we actually get to see, boy, how strong is my faith. I remember in junior high, in elementary school, I got into a fight, but it wasn't a real fight. I got beat up because I was scared to hit someone because my dad told me, son, if you ever hit anyone or get into a fight, you'll have me to deal with. So I got beat up, but I remember in junior high, I wanted to get into a fight. There was no reason. I wasn't mad at anybody, but everyone else was mad. I wanted to get in a fight because something was inside me. I wanted to see what I was made out of. I wanted to see if I can handle myself and take care of myself. So it is in these tests. I didn't get in a fight, by the way. And so it is in these times. These are times of testing. And instead of running cowardly and being scared and trying to isolate ourselves, we can embrace it because we stand on the rock to find out and to refine our faith. What do we really stand on? Or, I say this to myself, am I a cotton candy Christian? When it rains, I melt. What do we stand on? This is a time for all of us as we move forward into 2021. This is the last Sunday here in this year. As we move forward now with power and humility and deliberate intention to know thy God. There is a survey that's come out and was put out by U.S. Center for World Missions. And they put out all kinds of surveys. But there was a survey that came out and says, from where you were in high school, in your high school youth group, to where you are today, which could be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, how has your faith changed or grown? And amazingly, and this is not a criticism, it's just an eye-opener to check myself too, amazingly, more than 87% of the people said it's the same. That at 30 and 40 and 50 years old, they're living on a high school faith and belief. Nothing grew. Nothing changed. It's the same principles. The sad part of it is, in that period of life, we lost time where we could have known God, walked with Him, talked with Him, that He's no longer a concept in which we believe in, but a relationship in which we walk and live daily. As we move into 2021, maybe we can do this together. We can all study in the Word to unlock those secrets. Now, there's an amazing passage, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And it is, of course, written in Greek in the New Testament. So this is now many, many, many years after Proverbs, you know, thousands of years. But yet there's such a correlation in the Greek. So it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, there is a direct correlation between Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's amazing. Now, the word, as I look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, it talks about do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. So every day we are faced with two value systems. One is God's. Same thing the Hebrews were faced with. God's value system and the world's value system. God's value system says stand firm, do not be shaken. The world's value system says run and hide, be fearful, question everything. God's value system says I am the rock of your salvation. The world's value system says you're not good enough. You got to try harder. You got to do more. Now, depending on what feeds us the most is the value system we will adopt and actually start living by. If we are fed by the world, and I don't want to use the word politics in church, but politics, if we are fed by the way the world works and the world thinks, pretty soon, without even knowing it, we become the same. Even though we can say, but I'm a believer, we can still act out that same. But what this passage is saying in Romans here, what Paul's saying is be transformed. Change that thinking from the world by the renewing of your mind through the study of God's Word. My brothers and sisters, as I get more gray hair, I realize and look back at the times that I've wasted in my life when I could have been learning and doing things. But the only way that we can truly transform ourselves to know and understand and to walk in a vibrant relationship of trusting God, standing on the rock, is by renewing our thinkers, our mind, which renews our spirit and soul. And the only way is through studying the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, because there's power in there. Now, I could read commentaries till I'm blue in the face. I can read books till I'm blue in the face. But that's not the same as reading the living scriptures of the Word of God. Now, look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In all your ways acknowledge Him, Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, and He will make your path straight, His good and pleasing and perfect will. How do we do this today in this modern world? We gather together as believers, we encourage one another, but we challenge each other and we dig deep into the Scriptures. In other words, all we have is a type of Christianity and a belief that reads a passage of Bible. This is me I'm describing, none of you. Reads a passage of the Bible, and I think in my own arrogant way, then I close it and I say, how does this apply to me? Well, it makes sense to me that this is what it's saying. And it seems to me this is what I should do. And I'm missing the whole point. The way that the Hebraic school of thought and discipleships in the early days, they never looked at application. But that's the first thing how do I live this out? They never asked application. My pastor, when I was a teenager, took me under his wing and he discipled, began to teach me the Word of God. And he says, here's how you study. Get the context, blah, 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 blah. And I'd say, what about application? He says, after you've studied and read this passage for at least 50 times, and after you've dwelled on it for 10 years, then you're at a place you can say, how does that apply to me? Now, too quickly we could miss everything in the essence of what God has by putting on that quick 5-minute application that we missed the whole point. Well, my brothers and sisters, I leave you with this. As we move into 2021, let's band together, our hearts together, and let us seek hard for the person of God Himself. Let us learn what it means to truly trust unshaken. This is our time to flourish. This is our time to seize. This is our time to grab onto every promise that God has, and that we can truly trust. Final passage in Joshua 1:9. And boy, this too is the symbol of trust. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be shaken. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That is trust. Holy Lord God, Lord, these are unprecedented times. These are times when everything we know that used to be normal no longer is. These are times, too, where we're getting older. Where things that we never thought about in our youth are now becoming front stage. Lord God, teach us, lead us in the way, that from our lips and from the very cry of our heart and spirit, the very fiber of our being, that we proclaim trust. Not because it's a definition, not because it's something we're told to do, but because of who you are. We love you, Lord God, for you are holy and there is none other. And to you this morning, we give you honor and praise and ask a very special blessing upon each heart that is here, each heart that is listening, that they can feel the solid confidence that you dwell within, that they can feel that we can have confidence because you are who you claim to be. In Jesus' name, now and forevermore. Amen.